We want to get your participation, your comments, and so forth, and I'll be asking volunteers to come and to read some text. And what we're going to do is you'll see two mics up here on the two stands, and you can come up. We'll ask you to come up, and you can read or share from those microphones. That way we all can hear and can understand and enjoy together. I don't want to be preaching this morning. This is Sabbath school time. And we want to have a discussion as best we can here this morning. So, if you would take your Bibles this morning and come with me to Mark chapter 6, you'll find the mission or the scripture reading for this morning or the memory text for the Sabbath school class. Let the church know. Let the church know. Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. And I'm going to ask someone, whoever would like to come up to one of these two mics and read this verse for us. Do we have a volunteer this morning? Someone who would like to come right up to one of these mics and read verse 30 of Mark 6. Anyone want to do that this morning? Yes, come, brother. Come, please. Whichever mic you would like. Mark 6, verse 30. Take your time.
And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. All right. The apostles gathered themselves with who? With Jesus. Absolutely. Gathered with Jesus. And they told him, we could say they reported, they went back and told him and rehearsed what had taken place. And it says there, they both what they had done and what they had taught. Now, I looked at this passage, at this verse, or this chapter, and I thought, well, what had been going on? What had they been doing? And if you look back earlier in the chapter, look back to verse 7. This is also Mark 6, verse 7. He called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth, how? Two by two, that's right, absolutely. And gave them power over unclean spirits. Wow. He sent them out on their first gospel missionary journey. And then you'll read down to verse 12. In fact, let's get someone else involved here. Who would like to read verses 12 and 13 of Mark 6? Someone else. So is there a volunteer this morning? Mark 6, verses 12 and 13. Yes.
And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. Yes. All right. So, Jesus had sent them out, right? He sent them out on the missionary journey, and then they go out on their missionary journey. And as the brother just read there, they went out and they preached. They cast out devils. Sounds like some pretty amazing things going on, wasn't it? Quite a mission report, like we've been hearing this morning. They anointed with oil those that were sick and healed them. And so now when we get to the memory text in verse 30, Jesus gets them together and says, okay, come together. Now tell me what happened. Tell me what you taught. Tell me what happened along the way. Kind of reminded me of serving with a chaplain. And we were in a little bit of a chaplain training program one time. And we had to give, forgot the term, but I think they called them verbatims. We actually had to report what had happened in the hospital room. I mean, what we had said, what the patient had said, and so forth and so on. And that was critiqued and looked at and helped us in our training. It's very, very important that we learn to talk to God and relate and talk to Him and report what we've been doing in our missionary training. Okay, any other further comments or that you had on Sabbath lesson over the Sabbaths? Anyone want to come forward and make a comment or had a question about this? They had talked to Jesus. They had given their report.
I was really blessed by reports like this. It increases our faith and gives us ideas how we can and do great things for God through His power.
Amen. Amen, brother. Absolutely. That's what it's all about. Giving those reports. Those reports encourages someone else along the way. All right, let's look at Sunday's lesson. They spent the bulk of Sunday in Acts chapter 4. And I'm going to invite you to come with me over there. Acts chapter 4. We won't read every verse in this chapter, but you know the story. You also know that in Acts chapter 3 is where Peter and John, you remember, had gone to the temple and they had seen the lame man there and they had healed him. You remember the part there where he thought they were going to give him money. And Peter and John had said, "Silver and gold we don't have, but such as I have, give we unto you." And they had healed this man, raised him up, and healed this lame man. Well, of course, when you get to chapter 4, and again, this is Acts chapter 4, when you get to Acts 4, they ran into a little bit of trouble, didn't they? Quite a bit of trouble, because you'll notice in verse 1, as they spake to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple, the Sadducees were grieved in verse 2. And in verse 3, they laid hands on them, put them in hold unto the next day. In other words, they had them arrested. They arrested these fellows for preaching about Jesus and for healing this man and so forth. And if you look down to verse 7, the priests, the rulers, the Pharisees and so forth, they had an assembly. And they brought Peter and John. Notice verse 7. When they had set them in the midst, they asked them, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Now, use your imagination just a little bit this morning, church. Put yourself in Peter and John's shoes here for just a moment. You've seen mighty miracles, and now you've got to answer for it. Now you've got to answer for your faith. Now you've got to answer for what was done and what took place out there. And now here they are being brought on trial, and these priests and rulers look at them and say, "Hey, what power? Whose authority? Who sent you? Where did you get this power to do this?" Now, I want someone else to read what Peter's answer was. Would someone else like to come up to the mic and in Acts chapter 4, read verses 10, 11, and 12. I know that's a bit of a mouthful this morning, but I think we can do it. Who would like to do that? Acts 4, verses 10, 11, and 12. Is there a volunteer that would like to read that this morning? Peter's response.
"Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Hmm. 11 and 12.
Yes, please. Yes.
"This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved."
Wow. Thank you, sister. Wow. What a testimony. Whoa, here they are, standing before these rulers, priests, Sadducees, Pharisees, whatever you want to call them. There they are. "We preach Jesus, the one who you crucified. That is the one who gave us the power to heal this man." Now, if you look on down, if you follow on through the chapter, look down to let's skip ahead to verse 18 a little bit. They called them, that's the priests and the rulers, calling Peter and John, and they commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Now just being imagined that you're told that. You cannot teach any more about Jesus anymore. Somehow, wow, don't think that would work very well, would it? In fact, if you look at verse 20, I love verse 20. Wow. "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." We you can't shut us up. We're going to talk about Jesus. We don't care where we are. Put us in prison. We're going to preach and testify to the other prisoners. Testify everywhere we go. All right, now that means that we can report in two ways. Number one, they can't shut us up from telling others about Jesus, can they? Number two, it also means that we can't help but share what God has done. We've seen that in church, haven't we? I don't care how big or where their church might be or whatever it is. When you gather together in church, you just love to share those witnessing experiences, don't we? Just a beautiful experience to witness those. Even though at times those witnessing experiences may not have gone the way we wanted them to go. Because if I read Acts 4 correctly, there's a serious amount of persecution going on. They were being arrested for doing a miracle and for testifying of their faith, and still they reported it. In fact, look down Yeah, verse 23. Someone else, come right on up. Someone else, read verse 23 for us. Nice and strong. Acts 4, verse 23. Who's next this morning? Acts 4, verse 23. Yes, here we go.
And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Thank you so much. All right, so the question that was asked in our quarterly, what did Peter and John report back to their companions? What was it that they shared with them?
Everything.
Yeah. That's the long and short of it. Absolutely. Do you think they also told them back to chapter 3 as well? This is what happened. We went to the temple. Of course, I think their fellow believers already heard through the grapevine that story. I think they had already heard about that and how they'd healed the man, the lame man and crippled, how they had healed him. And now Peter and John, and it's interesting in verse 23, the first thing that Peter and John did, now think about this for a minute. Peter and John were the leaders. Peter and John were the leaders, and yet they still felt it important to go back to their companions, back to the believers, and report to their brothers and sisters. This is what happened. We were arrested. This is what they said to us. They told us not to preach anymore. They commanded us and questioned us as to our authority. This is what we said. This is what happened. Folks, there is power together in worshiping and witnessing together. Do you agree with me on that this morning? When we're together and studying together, there is an important part to that. This is what happened in my Bible study. Too often, I'm afraid, in our churches, sometimes someone has something in ministry and the other people in the church may not even know about it. Something else might go on over here on Bible study. What would happen if we would say, you know what, come to the church and maybe prayer meeting or Sabbath school or church or whatever, and you said, you know what, I've got a Bible study at 10 o'clock Tuesday morning with Mrs. So-and-so. Would you pray for me that I go and do this Bible study? And the next week come back and say, hey, this is what happened. How could I have done this better? How could I have learned better? This is what she said. This is what took place. And I don't think this means, in fact, later in the lesson they talk about the fact that it doesn't mean we report to gloat or to lift up ourselves. That's not the point. And I think we understand that, don't we? We're reporting or sharing to learn. To learn. So, what did Peter and John report back to their companions? Somebody said everything. Now, this is where it gets fascinating. Here's another question for you this morning. What did this report prompt the church to do? Praise God. Why? I mean, they'd just been arrested. And think about it. What if you did an evangelistic series or had run a CHIP program or whatever you had done in your church, a major project, you'd put a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of effort, and all of a sudden you ended up in trouble with the authorities because of it. Would you be wanting to praise God about that? Interesting, fascinating. They praise God, absolutely. Look down to verse 24. When they heard that, they did what? Lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and then they started praising God. And they even went back to Psalm chapter 2. The second psalm, and they quoted from Psalm 2, you know, the one, why do the heathen rage, so forth and so on. They went back to that, and they said, okay, Lord, this is our mission. We're running into some bumps here along the way. We're seeing miracles, and we're seeing persecution. Folks, have you seen that too, and you're witnessing as well? The miracles, someone's life has been changed, something that's happened in their life, or someone, you know, maybe overcomes an addiction or makes up their mind to be baptized, or just a miraculous miracle, and then in some way, shape, or form, the old devil breaks loose and persecution breaks loose. Have you seen that? That was a foolish question, wasn't it? Of course we've seen that. We have seen, and yes, these are the things to report on. And I don't think that this means that we give these reports just to be negative. We all have met individuals like that, who come in and just, oh, and all the sad things and all the bad things that have taken place. On the other hand, we need to be praying together. Now, this gets awesome, folks. Before we get out of Acts 4, look at verse 31. In fact, someone come up and read this. Acts 4, verse 31. Someone else who hasn't had opportunity. Acts 4 and verse 31.
And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness.
Amen. Wow. Thank you, sister. Amen. They were praying, and what happened then? The place was... Wow. I think that was literally, wasn't it? But I also think it could apply to us not only literally, but spiritually too. Spiritually too. What would happen if the church was praying and sharing and reporting, not to fill out some dry report form, as important as that might be, but to share together, to report together, and then praying together, praising God, even in the midst of persecution and adversity, they're praying to their Father, absolutely, praying, and then the place is shaken. There's some powerful lessons there. Any other comments that you might have from the lesson, especially under, what are we on here, Sunday still? Anyone have any other questions or comments under Sunday? Yes, yes, yes. And for those who may not have heard, she said, by the persecution, the message was even spread further. Absolutely, absolutely. All right, look over to Acts 21, moving on to Monday's lesson here a little bit. Acts chapter 21. Here we have another leader reporting, another example of sharing what God had done. Very, very important. That's why we have mission reports and so forth and so on. But in Acts 21, look at verses 18 and 19. And once again, we're going to need another volunteer. Acts 21, someone who hasn't had opportunity to read yet. Acts 21, verses 18 and 19. Who would like to read those verses for us?
And the day following, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had worked among the Gentiles by his ministry.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Absolutely. Now, we're now moving to Paul. We've talked about Peter, and we talked about him. Now we've got Paul involved in this. He's off on his missionary journeys, and yet he comes back, and it says very clearly that he went in there, and it says in verse 18, they brought him unto James, and it says in verse 18 as well, all the elders were present. Folks, we do not witness and share our faith in a vacuum, do we? It's too easy to just you doing your thing and I'm doing my thing. We need to meet together. Think about that for a moment. As a church, meeting together, praying together, then as a conference, I praise the Lord for camp meetings such as this, where we can come and we can share together. All right, these are the things that are going on. Now, notice in verse 19, this gets real specific. I mean, very specific. Check this out. Verse 19, when he had saluted them, he declared, and in my Bible, I have the King James up here this morning, it says, he declared particularly. That word's fun to say, isn't it? Particularly. Yes, he declared particularly what? What things God had wrought. He went through a very detailed report. Don't you wish you could have been there and heard that mission report that morning? Whoa. I mean, after all, if you look back in the chapters before Acts 21, it's the story about Ephesus and the uprising and riot there and Exodus and so forth and so on. All of that taking place. And you just have story after story after story back here. In fact, you have in Acts 20 the part about Eutychus being raised back to life. All of this is taking place. And I can just see Paul. I'll bet that mission report lasted for, who knows, maybe an hour or more. I can just see Paul sharing. This is what happened. We went here. This is what we said. This is what we did. And maybe it's Pastor Scott's overactive imagination here just a little bit this morning. But do you suppose that maybe the brethren looked at Paul and said, you know, maybe you could have done this a little differently, do you suppose? Maybe you could have said this differently. Or maybe you were let, you know, I don't think it was that Paul was seen as just some great hero and just knew all the answers. No, he counseled, he reported. That's a major part of this. We can learn together. We can learn. The pastor doesn't know everything. The pastor doesn't know. We can all learn. Learn in our Bible studies together. Absolutely. Okay, now, there's some other questions here. Let's see. Under Monday's lesson, in Acts 21, how was the church affected? And you'll see the answer. I think it was in verse 20. Yes, here we go. In verse 20, when they heard it, they did what? Wow. Would have been easy to glorify the Lord when you hear the good stuff too, wasn't it? The miracles, Eutychus being brought back to life, people being saved, believers added to the church, so forth and so on. But as we've already seen in Acts, they also praised God when there were challenges along the way, right? Challenges that were taking place. Okay, but then things got a little sticky because it says at the same time, even amid the good reports, there were indications of division among the believers. What were these problems? Now, we could go into a lengthy discussion about this, and I'm not going to do that this morning. But in a nutshell, in your minds, what were some of the challenges as you read on through in Acts 21, especially down through verse 25 or thereabouts? What were some of the problems there? What challenges did they run into? Jews not accepting the Gentiles. I heard another voice over here somewhere.
Circumcision.
The circumcision issue. That's right. Absolutely. They ran into challenges. Folks, we also need not be afraid to report even amidst the challenges, do we? There's times for that. Doesn't mean that we give a report just to be argumentative or combative or any of that stuff. But there is a time and place where we need to work things out, isn't it? And work together. Now, they ask another question. What were these problems? How did Paul respond? What was his response? Especially if you look down to verse, 26, I believe it is. Yes, what did Paul do? In a nutshell. Anyone want to answer that?
He gave account of the vision God gave him,
All right, he gave an account, that's right, of what he had seen, absolutely. And he also made some concessions, didn't he? Didn't they set aside, wasn't it, where was it? Verse 23, that they had four men which were making a vow and so forth and so on. Now, we could get into quite an in-depth Sabbath school lesson just on that alone. We won't do that. But essentially, Paul made some concessions that maybe weren't the best at the time. Still, the reporting led to this. Still, the reporting was important to encourage or help them grow. Absolutely. All right. Let's move over to Tuesdays for a few moments. In your quarterly. Now, they give many verses here. We're only going to touch on one at the moment because I want to get into Acts 11 later on here in just a few moments. But in Acts chapter 5, well, let me go to the main question that they ask here. This is sort of a broad, very broad question. But they ask, they say, if we removed, and I'm right here in the middle of Tuesday's lesson, if we removed all reports of evangelistic activity from the book of Acts, what exciting and encouraging information would we miss that is provided? And they give some examples. Let's go to just one of them. Look at the very first one they list in Acts 5. Come with me there this morning. Acts 5 and verse 14. What were some exciting reports? We've already seen some of them, but what were some of these others? Acts chapter 5, verse 14. And again, I'll need another helper here. Who would like to read this one? Acts chapter 5, verse 14. Someone gets a nice, short, compact little verse. Acts 5, 14. Anyone would like to read that? Yes, brother, please.
And the believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Yes, kind of an interesting old English. We don't quite structure the sentence that way so much today anymore. But the believers were the more added to the Lord. They had lots of converts, lots of people accepting the message. This was reported, and you know why? Because if you look back in verse 12, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. They were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And then it says, many were added. So, if they had not given those reports, if they had not told of what's happening, then we would have never known about this, would we? We would have never known. By the way, maybe it might not be such a good or maybe such a bad idea that we go back to, and maybe I'll date myself here a little bit this morning, but anybody remember in Sabbath school class when the clerk used to stand up and say, how many Bible studies did you give this week? How many pieces of literature did we hand out this week? Remember those days? Yeah, absolutely. And then they would say, so this many were in Sabbath school last week or whatever it was, and the offering last week and so forth. Might not be such a bad idea, would it? Not so that we're trying to compete to see who can give the most Bible studies or who can give out the most piece of literature or have the most baptisms. We don't want any of that. But to report, to share, to feed off each other's excitement. Absolutely. Yes, the thrilling responses of those embracing the message. That's why, folks. That's why. Not only, let's broaden it out from our local church. Of course, in the local church, we report, we share. That's even just as meaningful, if not more so, than even the sermon on Sabbath morning. We can come, we can talk, we can share, we can say, hey, I met my neighbor, he had this question, and I don't know how to reach him. Or I have my friend at work, and I'm praying for that person at work, and this is what happened, this is what I said, and then maybe we can say, you know what, maybe if you tried this, or maybe by the Lord's working you can do this or that, or help in this way, or take them a loaf of bread, or whatever the case might be. To share. But then we can also broaden it out just a little bit. What about like what's the publication from the conference office, the Mountain View Sunrise magazine? Do you enjoy those as I do? My, oh my, oh my. To hear those reports and see all over the conference, whether it's a cooking school or evangelistic campaign or a Pathfinder activity or whatever. It's just marvelous to see those reports. What about those mission reports? Yeah, I know, Mission Sunlight and so forth is gone, but we've got some other things in their place, don't we? I've been amazed across North America and the places that I've been, how many churches don't even do those mission reports anymore. Just amazing. Well, for that matter, it's amazing how many churches don't even do the Sabbath school program anymore. They just come and have Sabbath school class, and I think they're missing out on a real privilege to see, get those, you know, you can get all kinds of wonderful things. Go to the websites and get things, some of those videos from Adventist Frontier Missions or whatever it might be. Get some of those. Go to some websites. There's some amazing things. You can get the weekly email updates that come online in email form from Adventist News Network and from the Visitor Magazine and other mission, global mission reports and so forth and so on. There's a whole array of material out there to help us be informed and to know what's going on. Okay, now, if this is so important, are there any questions or comments you would like to make under Tuesday's lesson? The importance of reporting and sharing. Anyone want to say anything this morning? All right. Let's. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Brother Paul. Yes.
Yeah, there's one experience because we came here, I guess it's been quite a few years ago, and they had a series here. There was 10 of us from our church came and was learned. I think it was Lillian Torres, an evangelist.
Yes.
And talked about different ways we can reach our church. Well, we went back and we started having a time where we would share during the church service.
Amen.
We'd have like a brief time, different people would get up and share their experiences through Bible study. And it seems like our church has really grown since then. We have Bible studies and everything. So it's not saying, look at me. It's saying, look what the Lord has done.
Amen, brother. So. Amen. Absolutely. In fact, would I be way off the end if I even went so far as to say it probably wouldn't hurt to do it with the sermon on a Sabbath and have some time to just share totally for the sermon time. Have these testimonies. Yes, brother.
I'm a retired healthcare administrator. Every Monday morning in my office, my department heads would meet. And one of the things that was always done was each person have a chance to give a report about his different department. That's team building.
Yes, yes.
And out of that team building, you build a cohesiveness so they buy into your program. I didn't run the institution. They did it. They were my subordinates, but they were my first line.
Yes.
And out of those interactions that are happening that we're talking about today, there were some administrative decisions to be made because of the activity, they knew what had to be decided.
Amen. Amen. So that helps in working together, whatever your church project might be. I know some of the churches here in Mountain View, the major focus is the CHIP program. That takes a lot of coordination, doesn't it? A lot of time and effort, and your evangelist meetings, whatever. Yes, ma'am, please.
I just heard a story of a family member of mine that went to a funeral of a young man that died in their community. And they were spending all this time at the funeral talking about all the wonderful things that this young man had done out with his work related to the church. And it was, we were talking about what a shame that was that they didn't know that before. He had to die for them to hear these things. And I think we need to open up our church time for our youth to be able to share some things that they're going through. And we need to take some more time in our churches instead of just saying happy Sabbath, actually talking with one another.
Amen.
And getting to know each other and talking with our youth and asking them, hey, what happened at work this week? Open up the communication and you'll hear stories before they're dead.
Amen. Amen. That's another reason why, folks, why Sabbath school class is so, so important. Even maybe more so important than the church service itself. And I'm not down to playing the church service at all. I agree with the sister. The time to report, to share. So reporting is far more than just filling out a bunch of forms, even though that's important too. Very important, so we can sort of keep track and keep you have an idea of what's going on. But sharing, feeding off of one another, and encouraging one another. All right, let's move on to Wednesdays, because the as I read through the lesson this week, I got to Wednesdays. I felt like they took quite a curve here to an interesting part of this. What if reports are given, and we've seen this, haven't we? What if reports are given in such a way as to try to influence outcome? And maybe negative reports are given, or certain details are given that may or may not be true, but are put together in such a way as to create a false impression or influence a decision in the wrong way. We've seen that, haven't we? Maybe in a local church, maybe in a church board, whatever it might be. Interesting. They give a fantastic and interesting example of this all the way back in Numbers. Come with me back there to Numbers 13. Y'all are going to be very familiar with this story. Numbers 13. This is, of course, where those 12 spies had been sent in by Moses. And they come back with a report. Talk about a report. Boy, what an interesting one. Acts 13. Well, I'm in 15. No wonder it didn't make sense. Here we go. Numbers 13. And if you look, let's see, they come back, they've been gone for 40 days, and they come back, and they, verse 27, they said to Moses, they told him, that would be Moses, and of course all the other people, and they said, yes, we came into the land whither thou sentest us. Again, this is Numbers 13, I'm reading in verse 27. And surely it's a land that flows with milk and honey. We saw it. We tasted it. We know this is what took place. This is what's there. And this is the fruit of it. However, the negative part comes in. And what I'd like to ask is a volunteer to read verses 31, 32, and 33, if that's not too much. Anyone like to read those for us here this morning? 31, 32, 33. Anyone? We have a volunteer this morning?
But the men that went up with them said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Wow. How would you like to have that report for your Sabbath school one Sabbath morning? Wow. We can't do this. Now, I'm going to ask you something really interesting here this morning. Was this report that they gave, this negative report, totally false? No. There were tall walls, right? Strong walls. There were tall giants, right? Joshua and Caleb couldn't refute that. They saw that too, didn't they? They saw the challenges. They saw it there. But here comes these guys, these other 10 who said, oh no, and I can just see, I call it hand-wringing. What are we going to do? It's easy to get caught up in that too, isn't it? Whatever it might be. Oh, we're going to do evangelistic meeting. Oh, we're going to have a Pathfinder club. Or oh, whatever. Whatever it might be. And then the hand-wringing begins. We don't have the money. We can't do this. We can't do that. interesting. But what did Joshua and Caleb say? For one thing, I found it interesting that in Numbers 13, when they give this report, it doesn't mention Joshua right away. He doesn't come in with Caleb until the next chapter. But in verse 30 of Numbers 13, it says, and this is a fascinating use of words here. I just picture the whole scenario. It just creates quite a picture in your mind. It says, Caleb stilled the people. Anyone else have another version? How does it put it there? And I read it in the King James. Someone else have it another way? How does it put it in your Bible? Anyone? Quieted? Is that the word? Quieted the people. Interesting. What was that?
Silenced.
Ah, very good. So the report has been given. Now there's all the wringing of hands, and now there's all the hubbub going on and all the excitement, and Caleb stands up and quiets or silences the people. Interesting. What does he say in verse 30? He silences them, and then he says what?
Let's go.
We are well able to do it. Now, did he downplay the challenges? No. They were still there. Yes, did you have a comment you wanted to make? Yes, please.
I'd just like to read something out of Steps to Christ.
Yes, ma'am. Please.
Just something positive. It says, Christians are set as light bearers on the way to heaven. They are to reflect to the world the light shining upon them from Christ. Their life and character should be such that through them others will get a right conception of Christ and of His service. If we do represent Christ, we shall make His service appear attractive as it really is.
Wow.
Christians who gather up gloom and sadness to their souls and murmur and complain are giving to others a false representation of God and the Christian life. They give the impression that God is not pleased to have His children happy. And in this, they bear false witness against our Heavenly Father.
Oh, wow. Amen. Thank you, sister. Amen. Wow. Once again, I don't think it meant that Joshua and Caleb just took the challenges and shoved them up under the carpet or looked through things through rose-colored glasses. In fact, once again, in my overactive imagination, I can see Joshua and Caleb saying, yep, those are pretty strong walls. This is not going to be easy, folks. This is not going to be a cakewalk here. This is going to be a challenge. But here, we've developed a plan. Here, we know what we can do. We know that we can do this this way, this way. Here's step one, step two, step three, and this is what we suggest. Here's how we can do this. And yes, those folks do look like giants. And you know what? As I looked up at those giants, we do kind of look like grasshoppers. But, but God is able. Now, where was the question here? Here it is. Under Wednesday's lesson, what caused only two of the 12 to respond as they did? What was it that encouraged Joshua and Caleb to speak as they did? Yes, I'm seeing a hand back here. Amen. So they had great faith. Did they not? Thank you, sister. Amen. Did they not also have the promises of the Word of God? Let me give you an example of this. Come back. Keep your finger in Numbers or bookmark or something or other and look back to Exodus. Check this out. This is amazing. Look back to Exodus. Chapter 6. And look at beginning with about verse 2. God spake unto Moses. This is Exodus 6, verse 2. God spake unto Moses and said, I am the Lord. Sounds like the great I am, doesn't it? And I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known by them. I have established my covenant with them, in verse 4. Verse 5, I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, so forth and so on. Verse 6, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will do what? Bring you out. Yes. And then verse 7, I will take you to me for a people. I will be to you a God. You shall know that I am the Lord, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And then check out verse 8. Someone come right up to the mic and read verse 8. Anyone? Another volunteer. Someone who hasn't had a chance to read yet. Exodus chapter 6, verse 8. Who would like to do that this morning? Come right on up and share. Anyone like to do that this morning? All right. No, no, yes, please.
And I will bring you out into this land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an inheritance. I am the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Amen. Absolutely. I'm going to bring you up, and I'm going to give you that land. It will be your heritage, and this is what I promised. And now, Joshua and Caleb, if you come back, and hopefully you kept your finger or something there in Numbers 4, 13 and 14. Now, Joshua and Caleb say, hey, we can do this. Yeah, the challenges are going to be tough. Yeah, there's going to be obstacles. Yes, it's not going to be easy, but God promised we can do this. There they are. In fact, in verse, look at Numbers 14 this time. Look down to verse 6. Joshua the son of Nun, Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. Wait, hold it. What's that a sign of in the Old Testament? You Bible students here this morning. Grief. Rent. You remember the priests weren't supposed to do that, were they? But the other people there was time when they went in sackcloth and ashes. We would think it weird today. But back then, boy, this was a sign of grief. And there's grief the other way too, because in verse 1 of chapter 14, the congregation wept. They wept. They got so upset, so worked up, whatever you want to call it, so distraught about the negative report. We can't do this. Moses led us out here to die. It'd have been better if we had never even left Egypt, by the way. I want to ask you to answer this out loud, but have you ever been tempted in your own mind or heard people, maybe at church or whatever, wonder and say it would have been better if we had never become a member of this church and done these things? Wow. It would have been better if we'd stayed back in Egypt. They wept. Now you have Joshua and Caleb rending their clothes, weeping. And it says in verse 7, they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. Amen. Here they are. Casting the vision, aren't they? Painting that picture. And they too were not given a false picture. They went, they saw with their own two eyes. They saw everything. We saw it, it's a good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us. A land which flows with milk and honey. And look at verse 9, check this out. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. And I just love their faith. For they are as bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. I think the sister back there was right. These men showed a tremendous amount of faith, didn't they? Tremendous amount of faith. Absolutely. Absolutely. And let's see. Their defense is departed from them. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. My. These guys had a tremendous amount of faith. I would say that in our families and in our churches and in our conferences and in the world church as a whole, we need some Joshuas and Calebs. Do you agree with me that this morning? Only let's personalize this, because it's one thing to talk about the pastor or the church or the world church or whatever, but let's personalize this morning. Are you willing to be a Joshua and Caleb with me this morning? That's the bigger question. Do we have the faith? No, it doesn't mean we push aside the negatives, but we give a true report and look at God's promises. How does that quote go? We have nothing to fear for the future. You know that one. Except we forget. Yeah. Yeah. Look back. Look back. I've seen in my own life, there are times that I've wondered, Lord, what in the world are You doing? Why is this taking place? Or as a church family, I've seen it too, where we say, Lord, what's going on here? Look back and see. Start listing maybe what the Lord did last week, last month, last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. You'd be amazed at what can happen. All right, now, let's get to the good stuff here. Let's get to Thursdays. Let's get to some further exciting reports in Acts. And we'll wrap it up on this one. But look back in Acts. This time, chapter 11. I told you we were going to go there. Acts chapter 11. Some amazing reports are going on here. They have listed here in Thursday's lesson verses 1 to 18. Wow. We won't have the time to read through all of that. But let me just ask you this morning, what happened in the previous chapter in Acts chapter 10? What's the story there? What took place in Acts 10?
Peter
and the vision, right? You remember that. You know, the big old sheet coming down with all the unclean critters. Rise, Peter. Rise up and eat. You know that. Three times the sheet came down. And then, of course, who was waiting for him when he wakes up from the dream? You know, that's right. The men sent from Cornelius, right? Then he goes to Cornelius' house. And who's waiting for him at Cornelius' house? Cornelius? Yeah. Cornelius and a whole bunch of people, she says. And if I'm not mistaken, you can double check me on this, but in Acts 10 it actually says some of his kinfolk and friends and relatives are all there. And now Peter comes in. Now this is radical thinking for Peter. He's now in a Gentile home. Not to mention the fact that not only is a Gentile, but it's a Roman centurion. The Jews had no, well, to put it diplomatically and kindly, they had no interest in the Romans. They had no lost love or whatever the expression is for the Romans. And yet here's Peter standing there and testifying and preaching to Cornelius. Now, when Peter finishes in Cornelius' house, y'all know this story quite well, Bible students. When he finishes preaching there and sharing with them, what happens? Yes, on Gentiles, right? Yes, on Romans. Yeah. Ooh. Absolutely. All of this is taking place. So, they fast forward to Acts chapter 11. Over here, all of this has just taken place. And in Acts chapter 11, look at verse 4. Well, in the first three verses, Peter's come and they question him. And I can just imagine the questioning. I don't think they got to any preliminaries, right? They went right to the cut to the chase. Peter, there are reports. Here we go with reporting again. By the way, you ever notice sometimes it's difficult to spread the word about good things, but something bad happens, it just kind of, boy, oh boy, oh boy. Anyway, here comes Peter walking in the door, and they say, you went in with a bunch of uncircumcised Gentiles, and not only that, as someone said over here, you went in with a bunch of Romans. What's going on, Peter? You better answer. You better talk fast, my friend. And notice in verse 4, now, catch this. Thinking especially of our theme for the quarter, or for this week's lesson. Verse 4, someone else, come right on up to the mic. Go to Acts 11, verse 4, and read it for us. Who would like to do that this morning? Come, right on up. Someone else. Yes, come, sister. Acts 11, verse 4.
Acts 11, verse 4. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying...
Yes, okay. Then he goes off and telling the vision. Thank you, yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. Yeah, so it's interesting the words that are used there. Peter rehearsed the matter. What does rehearsed mean? He knew he was going to get questioned, didn't he? I remember when I first started taking piano lessons, you know, we had what they called rehearsals. Oh, I used to get so nervous about those. And you had to go in, and especially when my piano teacher would say, you know, Scott, she said, when you practice, there's a little man in there that goes and opens up a door in your mind, and whatever you practice comes out. So if you practice this music wrong, it's going to come out in the rehearsal wrong. So I would rehearse, I would practice to share. Peter was practiced, he was ready, he knew, but he told everything. He told everything. This is what happened. I was in Simon the Tanner's house. I was in Joppa. I was hungry. They were getting ready to fix supper. I went up on the rooftop. I had the dream. This great big sheet comes down. He goes through the whole bit, every bit of it. Then I went to Cornelius' house. And you can read it all there in Acts chapter 4. Reads the whole thing. Can you just imagine what that report did to the church that day? Can you just imagine Peter saying, listen, folks, God has a much bigger picture than what we're seeing here. There's a much bigger picture going on here. Yes, absolutely. Praise the Lord, absolutely. Yes, there's further, more people that God wants us to reach. Oh my. What would happen if in your life and in our church's lives, if we could realize God has a bigger picture? If we could see through spiritual eyesight, see and understand that only it's going to happen through prayer and sharing. And yes, dare I use the word reporting. Sharing and you're sharing with each other. All right, so he gives his report in verse 18. What is the response of the church here?
They first were silent and then they glorified God.
Yes. Yeah. They were silent. Yes. I like that. Yeah. My Bible says they held their peace. Wonder what that was like. That must have seemed like an eternity for Peter. They held their peace. They waited. And you can just probably see, they probably were sitting there with their minds just going, the wheels just turning. And then they begin to realize, hey, you know what? God's done something really powerful here. God has done something really powerful. Folks, do not be afraid to share what God has done for you in witnessing and sharing right in the church family. Don't be afraid to hear or ask someone else, hey, what did God do through you this week? What happened? What happened when you gave out that tract to the person down there at the convenience store? What happened? You know, brother, I remember last week you said you were going to pray with your neighbor and he's having heart surgery or whatever, and you were praying with him and he went in for this heart surgery. You were praying. What happened there? Tell us about it. We want to pray too. Look at what God is doing. What an amazing thing. They glorified God. Notice, it does not say they glorified Peter. No, in fact, at the beginning of the chapter, they're ready to string Peter up, aren't they? Absolutely. They glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Wow, just amazing this morning. Any other comments that you might have? Any further comments or questions or observations you have from reading this week's lesson?
Well, I think it's important as we consider these things to let the Spirit work in our hearts. And they were receptive to this because, you know, they were listening to God too. The Pharisees, you know, when they would share things, they didn't even give them hardly a chance to stop saying things. And they were saying, you know, we don't want you to say this. But, you know, they considered these things.
They considered.
I think that's so important. For us to do.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Absolutely. They considered. I could just see them there, you know, all sitting there and just listening, thinking about this, you know, letting it process a little bit. And then they gave God the praise and the glory. Look at what God is doing. Do not be afraid. Folks, that's a major part of why in church service, but that's also a major reason why we have such things that seem so insignificant maybe to some, but such things as bulletins, church newsletters, websites, and so forth. Let the church know what's going on. Right in your own local church family, but then even around further. I just love, that's one of the major things I love about camp meeting. To hear, what's the Lord doing in your church? You know? Never mind that you might have had more baptisms than my church. It's not about the competition, is it? No. Let's hear, what is God doing? And then they praise the Lord together. All right. I loved your comment. Yes, sir.
Oh, one thing is back in the last chapter when they were talking about the doubts they had about going into the land and the giants. It's normal for humans to have doubts.
Yes.
Especially when you're expecting something miraculous like that. Miracles don't happen every day. But I think what's sort of sealed the deal for them is they weren't honest about their doubts. You know, if you have doubts, that's human. That's normal, and we're all human. But then they sort of tried to paint it in the best light and kind of whitewash it by saying that they were worried about their children.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of, as you read on, God sort of saw through that, of course, and he said, you're trying to pass the buck. You're trying to pass the blame. Yeah. You're not owning your doubt. You're trying to sort of whitewash it as, you know, concern about your children. So in the end, we realize, you know, that God said, well, okay, if you're concerned about your children, then your children will go in.
Amen.
And you won't. And I think we have to take from that, you have to be honest and own your doubts and not try to whitewash it.
Amen. Amen. That also affected Joshua and Caleb because we can't forget the fact that Joshua and Caleb had to wander out in the wilderness for 40 years too, you know, before they got. Yes. Yes, yes. No. In fact, if I know geography halfway decently, Jerusalem is in that 1040 window, and that means that they're in the area where there's the least Christian presence today. So you're absolutely right, absolutely right. God sees a bigger picture, and that's why our reporting, our sharing, is so vitally important. All right, let's close with a prayer here this morning. It's all so good to get in the Word of God together. Let's close with prayer. Father, what a blessing that we can share and learn from each other, grow together and sharpen our skills and encourage one another. Yes, there are going to be the challenges, and we need to clearly recognize those and learn to work through those challenges. But help us to have that vision and see the bigger picture. It only comes in walking through the Holy Spirit, praying each day, praying as individuals, as families, and as a church family. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all.